Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So the media got to watch four passes at rookie minicamp. Four! And you would think the second coming of the Messiah has arrived in town in terms of what they watched.
You mean it, it hasn't?
Well, I mean, in terms of level of excitement, you know, since the moment they made that pick, I said to you, it's the most exciting thing I've seen in Chicago sports since the 2016 World Series win for the Cubs. Yeah, there's renewed hope for the franchise. Renewed. One draft pick immediately got everybody off the apathetic train and into, okay, game on, here we go. Like the Mitchell Trubisky era is over, and here's Justin Fields. And the video of him, he just looks like a quarterback, like the dude. You know what I mean? He just looks like that guy's in charge.
You know why, Cap? Because he is.
He could flat out.
That's why.
Command a room.
As someone who spent a lot of time watching Justin Fields in college and watching him lead, he reminds me so much of what Deshaun Watson brought in college. That leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You see him. He looks the part. He walks through the airport like, there's the guy right there.
That's the dude.
You see him, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to wonder what position he plays when you see him walk through the airport, when you see him walk past you. You know that he has that leadership. Now, looks are one thing, and development and production are another thing. I'm looking forward to seeing him in a Bears uniform with meaningful playing time because you want to find out what you have, right? All the excitement is because the Bears haven't had a quarterback in the draft that looks like this, that plays like this. And what I always look at is when you have someone like Justin Fields, it feels like the modern day, right? It feels like quarterback in 2021. There's a lot of different ways to get it done at the position, whether you're Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, if you're a veteran. There's a lot of ways to get it done. But in 2021, when we're seeing the Josh Allens and we're seeing, you know, Kyler Murray, when we're seeing what we're seeing here with Justin Fields just in practice, this is what the quarterback position looks like. Versatility, strong arm, leadership, to be able to shift and move the offensive line so you can get to where you want to be. This is why it feels good to be able to have Justin Fields in a Bears quarterback, because it doesn't feel like 10 years behind. It feels like you're accelerating with everyone else.
Yeah, you feel like, wow, they actually are, like, with the rest of the world, the football world. So, rookie minicamp is over, and correctly, Matt has said, Andy Dalton's right now number one quarterback.
Sure.
And that's how it should be. You hand the veteran the number one spot. I would assume on the depth chart, if you looked at his wall, Nick Foles is two, Justin Fields is three. And then get to regular mini camp, get to training camp, game on.
Sure.
Let's see what happens.
No matter when it's going to be, whether it's game one or game 16, Cap, I'm just looking forward to seeing it because I know what the future brings. Number one in Bears Orange is the future. And even Andy Dalton and even Nick Foles knows that this is just temporary. They understand that they have a job for now. But it's up to Andy Dalton to be able to lead this team. And I will tell you that just based on what we saw from him in Cincinnati, the glimpse we saw from him in Dallas, is that we know the limitations of Andy Dalton. That name has actually been around Chicago circles for a couple of years now. Like, what if the Bears were able to get a guy like Andy Dalton? And my answer always is, well, you already have him. His name is Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
And because that might be Mitchell Trubisky's ceiling. Like, you're good. You're a good quarterback. And you can be able to move the team, but maybe can't break through the glass ceiling. But I think that a guy like Fields, his type, the type of quarterback he is, he can break the glass ceiling. I think he's good enough to do that.
Yep. I think he can be the guy that You can get him out on the edge. You can go make plays with your feet. You can also stand in the pocket, survey the landscape. And when I read that article last week that they did this aptitude test for 6,500 athletes, men and women, and varying degree of sport, college athlete, pro athlete, whatever it is, and Justin Fields tested number one. 6,500 athletes since 2012. Number one.
It tells you all you need to know.
Correct.
When we read all of the columnists, those that cover the sport very closely, and they say, you know, Justin Fields probably is the first or second best quarterback in the draft. Like, well, okay, hold on a second. Like, in 3 years, that might be the case. But it says a lot that Justin Fields is in that acclaim, in that atmosphere, that stratosphere, that he could be better than Trevor Lawrence. Well, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bears have clearly a better football team than the Jaguars.
Correct.
So, but we'll see. But it's kind of cool that, because when was the last time a Bears quarterback's like, you know, this guy is one of the best in this draft? When was the last time we said that?
Never.
I don't think not in my lifetime. My boy, this is one of the best quarterbacks. The Bears got one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. I've never said that in my career.
Okay, so if you go back to, what year did you start in this business?
90.
90. It's okay. Perfect. Go back the last 31 years. They shopped at the free agency kind of bargain basement bin. Eric Kramer, Steve Walsh. They had Harbaugh, who was like the 27th pick in the first round. Like, the last one was Jim McMahon at number five. But Cade McNown.
Hey, yeah.
Ugh. That was a bad pick, and you knew it when it was made. Just start going through it. Have they ever, till Mitch said, it's a freaking priority? Have they ever?
Not in my lifetime. I'm not talking about trade.
Jay was a trade.
Right.
I'm talking about in the draft.
No, not in my lifetime. And Kramer was a Lion, right?
He was a Lion.
A Lion first.
Right.
And one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in the Bears for the 1 year.
For 1 year. 1995 with Curtis Conway and Jeff Graham.
That was a really good team.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Yeah, they were.
Because it looked progressive. It looked like, wow, that they're starting to connect. And it's not even through the running game. It was really good.
Yeah, they were pretty high octane for Chicago.
Jimmy Miller, maybe for a year.
Right.
Was pretty good, I thought. But not like the promise of what Justin Fields could bring.
This is the first time in forever you go, wow, they might have gotten this right. We'll see.
Now, again, from the calls that we get, Cap, of people talking about the Bears and saying, ah, you know, look at the offensive line, look at the secondary. Look, all the things that we have talked about since the Bears season ended, those are still storylines. It's also still storylines that we'll talk to Matt Nagy about coming up at 8:20.
Yep.
We will talk to him about that because those things have not gone away. We're just happy that the Bears were able to address the needs in the draft. I'm happy with that. I'm happy that they're able to get a quarterback, address the offensive line, maybe a weapon at wide receiver. And usually the brass with the Bears, they get the job done toward the bottom, middle to the bottom of the draft. Hopefully those will bear fruit too. I'm just excited because it just feels fresh. Anytime you have a draft and you are able to address positions, especially the quarterback position in this league, yeah, it makes me happy.
Yeah, even when they drafted Roquan, he's a Georgia guy.
Yep.
You knew he's a good player, really good player.
I knew out of college, watched every snap.
But the average fan, man or woman, didn't go, I got to go get that jersey. Oh, my goodness. Did you see who we drafted?
No.
This? Totally different.
Yeah, because the Roquan Smith was like, oh, of course, Bears, linebacker you.
Right. Solid player.
Right. It adds to the legacy.
Right.
Ah, the Bears with another strong defensive line. Ah, no surprise there. The Bears, once again, ring the bell at the linebacker position.
But quarterback? And this guy?
Oh, God.
Right.
Different. Different. Because, you know why? It's an offensive league. That's why.
And because we've never had one.
And we've been so spoiled. I know that it sounds strange, but we have been so spoiled with terrific defensive players for so long. Linebackers, defensive linemen, get into the quarterback, strong in the secondary. I mean, that's lasted. God, are we going back to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
I mean, like the 85 Super Bowl?
Yes.
I'm trying to think before that. I think that all started with the Ditka regime, right? There was some great defensive players before that. But let's talk about, like, Ditka Buffon 60s into the 70s. And there were still some players there, but they really came into their own when Ditka and Buddy Ryan came along, right?
Correct.
When you had multiple guys.
Well, you had Hampton. You had Mongo. You had Singletary. I mean, just on and on and on. Dent. It's like, game on.
Mm-hmm.
But still, always, I don't know about the quarterback play. Every freaking year.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's exciting.
Yes.
It's cool.
You have to realize if you're the Bears, you should have known this before, but you need to know you're not going to beat teams 9-3 anymore.
You're not. It's not the way the league is.
You have to put up some points on the board.
You do.
We could be the strongest team again defensively. Just bring in the kitchen sink, getting to the quarterback, but you got to score on the other side. And, it's like Buffon used to tell me, like, we would draw plays in the dirt because we knew the team could not score. So we try to put ourselves in a position to get the interception so we can score. Like, Doug, you guys are looking for offensive plays. We had no other choice. I mean, think about that. You're a defensive player, and Butka's like, all right, here's the position we need to be to get the interception so we can score, so we can do their job and ours. That's what Doug told me. Like, that's sad. Think about that.
That was the Bears.
Right?
312-332-3776. After one weekend at Halas Hall and four passes that the public, the media, got to view, how excited are you for the 2021 Justin Fields-led Chicago Bears? 312-332-3776. Light them up, your calls. Next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, the media got to see four passes. That's it. That's all we let you see. Four passes. And, oh my goodness, it's Justin Fields. Wow. And I was listening to Key this morning, Keyshawn. He said, folks, this is how it works in the NFL. Andy Dalton is and should be number one on the depth chart. He is a veteran. He has had some level of success in the league. And that's how it's done. Andy, you're the number one guy on the depth chart for now. Nick Foles, you've won a Super Bowl MVP. You're there. Justin, just dial it back and let's learn. And let's learn what it means to be a professional quarterback. But he said, I can just tell you, this is what Key said. Mm-hmm. Those defensive players, as camp goes on, are going to go, okay, this guy can ball. This guy can play. And then he'll get a few more snaps with the top group, and then a few more snaps, and all of a sudden, it might be an open competition. But that's not how you handle it today.
Yes. You know, the media, the fans, I think that when you see Justin Fields, Cap, is the equivalent of a kid seeing a brand new toy on the top shelf, but just can't reach it. But I really want that toy. I want to play with that toy because there it is. I just want to be able to grab it, and you can't because you're too small.
Right.
And you see this your little stepladder. You try to get up there. You try to climb shelves to get it, but you just can't get there. You and I see that toy. You see that brand new shiny toy of Justin Fields, but you can't grab it yet. Not yet. We'll give it to you when you're ready for it.
Correct.
And that's what the coaching staff is pretty much saying, that you'll get that toy. You'll be able to see something new and fresh when you're ready for it, when he's ready. And he's not ready just as of yet. But it's just like anything else in the NFL. You just want to be able to see what's new and what's fresh. We know what Andy Dalton is, and we know his limitations. And this is no shot at him. He's just looking for a job. I'll never take a shot at Andy Dalton. It's just, I know his career. We know what he's done
and
we can't do. But you just want that toy at the top of the shelf, Cap. You just can't reach it. You'll get it one day, but just not today.
312-332-3776. So how excited are you for Justin Fields in the 2021 Chicago Bears? Harding's in Charlotte. He's up first. Harding, what's up, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? So, listen, I am insanely excited. Cap, I have to agree with you. And I don't know if that was weirder you were arguing with, whatever, whoever that was. I'm a Sox fan. So, in reality, this pick is the most exciting thing since Derrick Rose won MVP. I don't really care about the Cubs. So, at the end of the day, it's not just the pick. It's the fact that the front office identified they needed an offensive lineman. They got one that they were projected to get in the first round. They picked up speed wide receivers. So, Goodwin, Bird, they have Mooney, they got Kmet at tight end, and they got Allen Robinson as a superstar possession wide receiver. They understand that they're trying to build an offense. It lets me know Matt Nagy may actually have a part in building what he thinks is his version of the Kansas City offense. You can't duplicate it, but maybe he has a version that'll be successful. I am insanely excited. When we drafted Trubisky, there was a feeling of, like, intriguing anxiety, right? Even the same thing when they went into the playoffs. They got that win, the convention the following season and in the offseason. It's anxiety-ridden intrigue. Now we're like, all right, we actually have a quarterback that may actually give us the hope and potential to go somewhere, even if they have to rebuild the defense. Because you might have a window of 1 or 2 years where they got that Russell Wilson matchup with the defense, the Legion of Boom type thing. Might be a little different, but we might have 1 or 2 year window. More than likely, Justin Fields is going to have a maturation point where they match up with a defense that gets restructured. And then we have a potential to really do something special. So I'm super excited. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm going to fight bots online to try to get his Panini rookie cards, all of that. I'm going crazy for Justin Fields. I'm letting you know. There's so much money in that, I got to fight everybody to get these rookie cards and just have them sit on a wall in my office. So love you guys. Talk to you later.
Go all get them. Right, see you, Harding. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's different than the Trubisky draft in a lot of ways in that. So watching during that year, I said, boy, Deshaun Watson, with the injury, that guy's a leader. You saw him, right? Patrick Mahomes, when I saw him, I said, well, if you can help him out, I mean, he's a quarterback, he's a touchdown machine, but I'm like, man, he's wild. A lot of interceptions. He's just kind of drawing it up in the dirt. I don't know how that offense relates to the NFL. Then I saw Trubisky. I'm like, I think I might have seen him on a random Saturday, ACC, North Carolina, a couple times. I'm not really knocked out by him, but boy, the guy's fast, though. That was my thought watching all three of those quarterbacks. I said, Watson's at the tippy top for me. And then the Mahomes is like, man, he's all over the place.
Right.
A ton of touchdowns, a lot of potential, but you got to rein him in. And now you've seen how it's unfurled. It's a feeling that's different now with Justin Fields than it is during that time, Jeff.
No, you're absolutely right, Hoodie. And just to emphasize how the excitement level is bordering on the ridiculous, but in a fun way. I don't know if you guys follow Eric Lambert on Twitter. He does Bears for Sports Mockery.
Yeah, he's great.
And I saw this tweet, and I contemplated sending it to a group of Bears fans who I have a text with, but I decided against it. And then within 10 seconds, that same group text sent the tweet to me. Eric on Friday tweeted out, Justin Fields went to a receiver after running the wrong route in practice and told him how to fix it in his first practice. I was just amused by the fact that at rookie minicamp, we're getting excited about Justin Fields telling a wide receiver, hey, this is what you did wrong on that route. This is what you need to do, whether it's an in-break or you need to. It just has me laughing that we're getting excited about the quarterback knowing.
That's how pathetic we've been.
But
And that wide receiver's name was Allen Robinson.
No. Don't kill our buzz, Hoodie. But it's fantastic. And it just goes to show the difference between Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky at this point.
Yeah, there you go. Leadership, right?
312-332-3776. So, 1 weekend at Halas Hall. 4 passes that the media got to see. And all of a sudden, everybody is just over the top, loving it. Not surprising. How excited are you for the 2021 Justin Fields-led Bears? 312-332-3776. We go to Bob in LaGrange. What's up, man?
You guys missing the whole point, gentlemen. Trevor Lawrence is going to start. Is he that sharp? He's that great? He's going to start for the Jaguars. He don't have to wait. Kyler Murray started. He didn't have to wait. Justin Fields, the best quarterback the Bears ever had. All the test scores know he can flat out play. What's this sit down and wait behind Andy Dalton? Dalton may win 3 games, maybe. He's not that good. He gave him a chance. He's a veteran. Why didn't Dallas keep Dalton? Andy Dalton.
Bob, What are you going to call? Bob, hold on a second. Now, we're having a conversation, okay?
Sure.
You called us, so we're going to have a conversation with you.
That's right.
So you're going to call in with the same comment over and over again?
Let me finish.
Because you called in with the same thing, so I'm going to respond to it. So the idea that Fields is the best quarterback the Bears ever had before he steps on the field is nonsense.
Right.
That's number one. Number two is like anybody else. Well, Trevor Lawrence, in a situation with the Jaguars, who's the backup? Tell me, since you know the Jaguars so well, tell me the backup of the Jaguars that Trevor Lawrence has got to beat out. Tell me
you
who it is.
You asking me?
Yeah.
You want me to answer the question?
Yes.
He was going to start regardless
Answer the question. Who's the backup that Trevor Lawrence has to beat out in camp?
He was never going to sit on the bench. I don't care who they had.
Okay, that's my point. You don't know. Let me finish. You have a feeling that like there is some kind of bias against Fields because he has to wait. Listen, they brought in Andy Dalton to be the first quarterback. Let Fields go through the process and let him beat him out.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you give Andy Dalton $10 million? He was going to be at 1 year. $10 million? Please, Dallas didn't bring him back. He worth $10 million? How good do you think Andy Dalton is, sir?
I think we already talked about it in the first segment, that we know what he is, Bob. We know what he is. And by the way, the $10 million is not my money or your money. It's the Bears' money.
And that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick got, $10 million. That's just what the job pays.
Okay, so let him win three games. And whoop-de-doo. Three games, Andy Dalton. He's older. Oh, he's a veteran, but he can't run.
Just let the process play out, man. Let it play out.
That's your process. Let the kid play that can play. That's your process. If he can pick up everything, let him pick it up. If he can throw the ball.
Bob, if the kid is truly what you and I and every Bears fan hopes he is, he will win the job. When he's ready, he will play. And if that's September 12th, great. If it's not, whenever he's ready, we'll know he should be on the field, period. Appreciate your call, man.
Listen, we appreciate the phone call. Don't keep calling in with the same comment, believing that the Bears have some inherent bias against Justin Fields. Because you don't know, Bob, because you keep calling in with the same thing, let me just tell you, Trevor Lawrence is going to take on Gardner Minshew. Which one would you rather start? Minshew was a late draft pick, and it gave him every opportunity to succeed. This is why Trevor Lawrence is anointed the starter, not just because of his draft process where he was drafted, but it's also because he's a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew today.
Correct.
We saw Gardner Minshew.
Correct.
That's correct. All.
Here is Keyshawn. I referenced this morning on Andy Dalton getting the first team reps. Again, this is a guy who was the number one pick in the draft, Keyshawn Johnson. Been in the media a long time. He knows how this thing plays out.
It's May. Come August, the conversation will be different. Andy Dalton should be the starter today. And he should be the starter tomorrow at the beginning of training camp. First couple of days, Andy Dalton will take some reps with the first unit. And then all of a sudden, they'll start to share reps. And the closer they get to regular season, he'll slightly start to take less reps. And Fields will take more reps. That's what it is. So I wouldn't buy into.
So you're describing.
Or I wouldn't freak out because he's saying the things that he's saying in his press conference about the quarterback position. I wouldn't freak out if I was a Chicago Bear fan.
No. The whole thing is this, is that the Bears got Andy Dalton because they want to solidify themselves with a veteran quarterback with a ceiling. And we already know that. Nick Foles is on the team. We saw what Nick Foles could do. Nick Foles is the ultimate relief pitcher. He's not a starter in this league. And so with Justin Fields, Cap, Justin Fields, as you mentioned, we go through the process. More than likely, at some point, he will beat out Andy Dalton. If it's not today, if it's not August, if it's not October, at some point, he's going to be the starter.
Correct.
But this LaGrange Bob is going to call him with the same thing, like the Bears are handcuffing Justin Fields. Let the boy play. He will play. But just not on your terms, not on your timeline.
Correct.
It's the Bears' line. It's the Bears' timeline, not yours.
Just let this thing play out. Period. That's just how it works. Thrilling win on the South Side yesterday. I thought Len Casper's call was sensational. Plus, the future is bright for Sox fans. Next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
back. Mercedes takes off for second. The pitch gets away. Here comes Abreu. He will score! White Sox win! They win it! The Royals will challenge the call at the plate. It was close. Headsets are still on. Both teams at their respective dugouts. Many White Sox players are standing outside the dugout, and the call stands! White Sox win. The Royals over in their dugout can't believe it. The final score, the White Sox 4, the Royals 3. We got to take a breath.
So guy gets just crushed on Friday. Wanted to play in the second game of the doubleheader, despite the laceration and all of it. And Tony went, no. And Sunday, you talk about being into a game mentally. That ball did not squirt away more than, what, 12 feet?
Yes.
And he's gone. And it's not as though that's Billy Hamilton running. It's Jose Abreu. And he finds a way to get in there. Awesome win. And that call by Len, I thought, was excellent.
Sure.
The voice cracking at the beginning when he called it was hilarious. I love the passion.
Yeah, you got to love the passion of the White Sox getting that split against Kansas City. And so for Jose Abreu, just you think about the days of Paul Konerko being with the White Sox, and it's been a seamless transition from Konerko to Abreu when it comes to leadership.
Yeah, because Konerko got the ball in the face, stayed in the game. Abreu wanted to stay on Friday. He's back in there. The guy's just a beast. Just what a leader.
Flipping the table over on La Russa. Like, no, I'm going to play. Well, you mean you're going to play? Like, no, you're going to play. Because he wants to be out there, man.
How about Tony comparing him to he stands right next to Albert for me?
That says a lot. That says a lot for Jose Abreu and who he is when you're compared to one of the greatest first basemen and leaders in baseball in Albert Pujols. That says a lot. But I just loved Abreu out there because the way he was able to go out there and make a difference for the White Sox yesterday, getting in that collision, something I've never seen in baseball before. Cap, I've never seen that before.
You're talking about Friday?
Yes.
Oh, I was out walking, just getting my steps in. I'm listening to the game on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
On the ESPN Chicago app, which you all should download. And when I heard Len, like, that call, like, it was gut-wrenching. And again, I'm listening. I can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, oh, God. It sounded horrific.
A gunshot going off. When you're going back, when you're face-to-face, heads colliding. I never seen that before. Guys running down first base, and the first baseman's trying to get up, you know, in that spot, and then they collide. Man, that could have been a lot more serious.
Horrible. Same for Hunter Dozier, too.
Well, and it was the oddity of it was that the way Grandal was positioned to try and make the catch, that put Hunter Dozier in a weird spot where he was trying to avoid Grandal. And so because he's got his head down looking to avoid Grandal, he doesn't even see Jose Abreu coming in from first base, which leads to Jose Abreu, you know, approaching the ball, and then Hunter Dozier slipping behind aside Grandal, and then like sprinting to try and beat it out in case it falls, and sprinting, you know, bam, full on into Abreu's face.
That was just amazing that happened. But Abreu is a microcosm of the heart of this White Sox team. Yeah, you split with the Royals, but, you know, you like it because you showed some moxie there. And by the way, Sox Twitter, I know that you're not happy about Adam Eaton hitting second in the lineup, but, Matt, I mean, he came through with a home run yesterday.
That was a big home run, and that was a line drive home. It wasn't like this towering, oh, that ball's gone. I just thought it was a rocket to the outfield.
It was almost trending yesterday, Cap. People did not like the idea that Eaton's hitting second in the lineup. They don't mind Moncada than Abreu, but they thought that Eaton in that lineup, after Tim Gill's 3-for-5 with two runs, he's almost automatic. He is locked in, Tim Anderson.
Oh.
They just don't like the fall off of Eaton in second, but he's able to hit a home run to help the Sox cause. He may not be the best in the second spot, Meller, but I'll take it, right? I mean, the little bit that he can give you. And by the way, that's a deeper conversation, too, by the way, that we haven't talked about. So what if, right, when it comes to Eaton, Who's making $500,000?
$8 million.
Is he making $8 million? $500,000. So when he's making only about a half a million, really, I mean, that's what he's worth to me sometimes when I see him out there. Cap, I mean, just wonder, like, what his position is going to be by the time we get to August, September. Because you have Robert back at that point, maybe, maybe late. That's your late September call-up.
Maybe.
Knocking on wood, right?
You're hoping.
And Aloy, the same thing, late, late September.
Yep.
Wonder where that place is eaten.
Well, especially if you have Adam Engel. Right. I think he's kind of the X factor. You know, he hasn't played this year yet. I think he was running last week on the field.
Yeah,
but that's encouraging.
But 10 days ago, they said he had gone back to square one with a setback.
Yeah.
So you got to be really careful.
That's what I'm saying. So, but I think the hope is obviously that Engel will be back before, you know, if Robert comes back at all. I'm with you, Hoodie. I'm kind of with Cap. I'm crossing my fingers, but I don't think you can count on Luis Robert. But yeah, they have so many options. And how about Andrew Vaughn too? He's made the transition to left field. Then he scooted in and played first base in the second game of the doubleheader. Made a couple nice plays in that game. He seems to have found his way too into the lineup every day.
I'm knocking on wood for Aloy and Robert late September.
How about that?
If those are the call ups, you're in good shape.
And hey, real quick, then who's your DH? Because Vaughn's going to play left, right?
Yeah.
So who is it? Aloy going to DH? Your mean Mercedes going to get aced out of his spot in the lineup?
Well, Cap believes he's going to dry up anyway.
Yeah, I'm not telling you he's going to be a .180 hitter. He's just not going to be a .340 hitter all season.
Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That'd crazy.
Be a real find if he is, man.
And there's going to be another name in there. Because at the trade deadline, you're going to do something because you don't know if Jimenez and Robert, A, will be back. B, what are they going to be like when they come back? And if this team is, I think they're going to win the division by six or more. I told you that two or three weeks ago.
You did.
And if that's true, that's a team with legitimate World Series aspirations then to win a title. So Rick's going to go add somebody. So there'll be another piece into that puzzle.
Yeah, we'll see. But they got to take on the Twins. Oh, they got to take on the Twins starting tonight. Oh, God, I'm so afraid.
You're better than
that. Oh, yes. It's the Twins. They're coming to get us.
You're better than that.
They're coming to get us, Cap. Oh, God.
They stink.
Cap, it's the Twins. Cap, they're coming. Oh, yes, the Twins.
You can hold Chuck. He'll come here.
Oh, God.
You're scared. Go buy a dog, as Stacy would say.
It's the Twins.
312.
Oh, yeah.
332-3776. Real fast. Danny and Schaumburg. Hey, Danny.
Hey, guys.
Help my partner. He's freaking out in here.
Oh, God.
That White Sox team is so much fun, especially when you're betting on them.
Yes.
I had a position on a four-team stinger, so I was calling it the Oaktown to Chi-Town par-par. So I had San Fran Cubs on the early games. And then I had Oakland and Sox, and Oakland battled back, but the Sox were the third leg on that stinger. So when that game, when Abreu came across and slid, I jumped out of the couch. I was screaming. I'm like, yes, the stinger's still alive. It's alive. And then Oaktown battled back. They were down 4-1. So a $25 par paid $205. How about that, Cap?
I like that.
Take that. How about that?
Take that.
Hey, Cap, maybe you can have me on your little point spots videos. You need some help. I see you're betting like, hey, will Rizzo get one hit? I mean, come on, let's lay it out there. Let's do some, you know, let's put the cojones on the chopping block, Cap. Come on.
It's part of a parlay.
Those all cashed. I said I bet Rizzo plus 250. Thanks for the call, Danny. I bet Rizzo to have two hits the other day because of the success he'd had against Jose Urena. He was 7-for-14 lifetime. Bet him for two hits, hit. Bet him for one hit, hit. Did not get the home run. I also had money on Ian Happ. He was lifetime, like, ridiculous against them. And Jock Peterson got a triple, and I had money on him.
Yeah, there's still good American cash.
Yes.
They're still making money.
I don't care if I'm betting on a, you know, lacrosse game. Whatever, if it cashes, it spends the same, man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're betting on a hit, if you have these exotic bets that you find, man, as long as you cash it in, it's cool.
Take that. All right.
The Twins are coming.
You're better than that.
J-Hey-Hap.
Oh, God! What are we going to do, Cap? We're going to lose the lead!
A familiar face returns to Wrigley.
Oh, yeah.
We'll comfort Hoodie. He's scared.
Twins.
Chuck is the same way. They're both just terrified of the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, no!
A familiar face returns to Wrigley Field today. In fact, two of them. That's next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right. So the Nationals.
You don't hear me going over here going, oh God, the Nationals are coming into town. I'm terrified.
You should be. Here comes Schwarber.
Yeah.
And here comes Davey Martinez.
Johnny Lester.
Yeah, here they come. I just find the Sox-Twins thing fascinating. Only because now you get it done at a guaranteed rate. Now you want to get it done in Minnesota. You just want to bury them.
Yes.
You could tell that they're not a very good baseball team. Mm-hmm. I just look forward to seeing what happens in this series. Starting with Dallas Keuchel against J.A. Happ. Oh, God!
Northwestern kid. So the standings right now, as you wake up, pour yourself a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. get the kids off to school, go to work, whatever it is your morning routine is, the Chicago White Sox are now 2.5 clear of the field in the AL Central. They have the highest win percentage in all of Major League Baseball at 24-15. Mm-hmm. Their last 10, they're 8-2. And yesterday, they've got to have a spring in their step. Now, flip it to the Cubs. They took 2 of 3 from a lousy Tigers team.
You take the wins when they come.
Exactly. Whoever they put on the schedule,
yes.
You find a way.
Yeah, man.
And now you wake up today and you go, oh, God. We've got a 2-hour tribute video for John Lester and Kyle Schwarber. So tonight, it will be Lester against Alzolay. The young kid.
I like Alzolay.
I do too. Mm-hmm. Very much so. I'm a big Adbert Alzolay fan. I think about time they developed a young starting pitcher. And Justin Steele looks good. Like, they've got some arms finally. Keegan Thompson. Like, whoa. They actually have a few arms coming from the system. But it's about John Lester's return tonight.
All right, Danny. Is Danny in there? Danny. All right. Turn the mic on. Let's do the show meeting right now. So, how long is a tribute video for Schwarber and for Lester? It's got to be separate, right?
Oh, absolutely separate. How long was the tribute video for Albert Elmora Jr.?
It was 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Okay, then John Lester deserves 1.5 hours. and Kyle Schwarber deserves at least 45 minutes.
You think they do separate videos?
Oh, they
one?
Better. Oh, no. Kyle Schwarber needs his own for his heroics in 2016 when he was hurt and he surprised us all in the postseason. What a glorious time.
30 seconds.
And John Lester, listen, John Lester, they should name it John Lester Field for that game.
You know, if you had a real beer like Miller that you could serve at Wrigley, everyone should get a Miller.
What about a nice fresh old style?
Well, it's my dad drank.
That's it.
It was cheap.
Well, Lester's the Miller guy. Remember, he bought everybody Miller
Correct.
Beers.
But so the Cubs are so closely aligned.
Right. The bleachers should be, they should all get free beers of whatever is that over there. Old style?
Old style.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It sucks it didn't work out that it was Lester facing Arrieta.
Mm.
How great would that be?
That marquee matchup.
Arrieta pitching to Schwarber.
Be cool. I look.
Give Cub fans a reason to watch.
Hey.
Look, it's going to be fun to watch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him out there on the mound pitching for them, it's like, oh, God.
Sure.
Like, he should still be here. It's literally embarrassing that he made them an offer and they said, oh, we can't sign anybody right now. Stop. The Chicago freaking Cubs.
You heard what Jed said to us, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much what Lester's like. Yeah, we're moving on.
Right.
Ultimately, is what he told us. And they were just, in real time, we're like, wait, you're just going to set aside John Lester who wants to be here? You think he's washed and done? Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, well, let me read you his numbers.
All right.
John Lester will take the bump tonight. He is 0-1 with an ERA of 2.25.
His last three starts, 16 innings, a 2.25 earned run average.
I think they should just keep the video rolling on John Lester while the game's in progress. Just keep his highlights rolling.
Correct.
The whole time.
Like, they've got to have, okay, here's one. In that highlight video, obviously him pitching in the World Series, him pitching at Wrigley in Game 5 and then Game 7, that'll all be in there, no doubt. Is the pickoff of Tommy Pham at first base in the video? Remember that? When Tim McCarver's like, take a bigger lead. He's not throwing over there. And you heard Dan McLaughlin go, he just did.
Yes.
You're out.
That's right. That's right. And, oh, that I think that should be in there. And the Cubs should steal as often as possible.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be in there. That's kind of mocking John Lester.
It's not mocking John Lester. It was awesome when he stood on the mound and looked at Matheny like,
but John Lester couldn't throw to first. That was like a big thing, remember? One time he had to actually throw his glove with the ball in it to Rizzo because he had a hard time throwing to first. You're kind of mocking the man's weakness.
I'll bet that's in there because it was a cool, cool moment.
I mean, guys taking 20-foot leads right on Lester.
Right. Danny's got the video playing in here, and literally, Tommy Pham's at 17, 18.
Oh, my God.
He's at 19 feet is the, and boom, picked off. See you later. And watch Lester just glaring into their dugout. It was awesome. That's one of the coolest moments, and I'll bet if you asked him, he loved it. Loved it.
You know, when you think about it on the surface, how ridiculous is it? I'm like, oh, he's got the yips. He's not going to throw over there. Well, I mean, like, is that Rizzo at first, right? Mm-hmm. He's probably way off the bag there. So it's just like a little play of, like, toss, right? He doesn't have to gun it over there. He just lobbed it over there. It still got the runner.
You're gone.
I mean, it just...
The best is when you hear the Cardinal call. He's not going to throw over it. He just did.
Out.
Out. All right, Chuck Garfine. He is our White Sox insider on your Chicago White Sox and a walk-off win yesterday. That is in 2 minutes. Matt Nagy at 8:20. Don't forget. We'll be right back.